El pueblo unido jamás será vencido.
Listen up. I was told one too many times that activists in Quebec haven't done a damn thing in the past 4 decades to make our society a better place. Well, on Wednesday, February 13th, Cumulus Press is going to prove them wrong by launching a book of posters of social movements in Quebec from 1966 to 2007. Picture this, 659 posters, 360 pages, 72 pages in color, 13 contributing authors, 9 chapters, one great book to prove that activism in Quebec is alive and kicking. So come to the book launch and poster slideshow. Picture this, posters of social movements in Quebec this coming Wednesday, February 13th, 5 to 8 p.m. at the Écomusée du Fier Monde, 2050 Amherst, just above Ontario Street. Metro Berry-UQAM, free entry. This is a Cumulus Press CKUT co-presentation.
The most underestimated media tools and artifact of social history is the poster. I've come to this conclusion after reading and looking through the book entitled Picture This, Posters of Social Movements in Quebec from 1966 until 2007 by Jean-Pierre Boyer, Jean Desjardins, and of course David Widgington, who is on the line with me now. Thanks, David, for taking the time to chat with us. You are from Cumulus Press, which is the publishing company that has published this book.
Yep.
And what a book it is. The book launch is scheduled on February 13th at Écomusée du Fier Monde. A little bit more information about that will be given at the end of this interview. But for now, if you want to check out cumuluspress.com, you can do so and get more information as well. So to talk to us about the making of Picture This, there are 9 writers that are featured in this book as well. I'm just wondering right now, David, how and who was involved in the selection process of these posters and organizing them in a layout and giving them a context, especially within the time span of 1966 up until 2007?
Well, I guess I'll start out with the part of the question about how the project got started. Mm-hmm. Because I guess it's a multi-pronged question that you just asked. The book project started, I approached Jean-Pierre Boyer and Jean Desjardins from the Centre de Recherche en Imagerie Populaire, which they both founded with someone else, I believe, in the late 70s, early 80s. And, so they've been archiving since then ephemera of popular movements, posters, stickers, banners, pins, buttons, things like that. But their largest collection is posters. They have about 20,000 posters in their archive. So I approached them to see if they wanted to publish with me a selection of these posters. So they said yes, which is great. And so at that point, I also set out to, I sent word out to the activist community that I was familiar with and even at large to get more posters. And I managed to collect about 600 posters to add to the selection process. So that's how it got started. The other question, I guess, was how the posters got divided into these categories.
Mm-hmm. Especially the organizational of them, because how do you even put any context to them?
Well, first off, I'll name the categories. So they're divided into 9 chapters, and each chapter is based on a category. For example, the first chapter is union posters. So the posters aren't based on... The subject isn't necessarily union organizing, but it's posters that were produced by unions or that unions had them made for their campaign. So each of the categories are based on the groups that had posters made. So there's union posters, there's political posters, community posters, feminist posters, pressure group posters, international solidarity group posters, cultural posters, artist posters, and anti-globalization posters. So those are each of the chapters. And the way they're divided, they're all chronological within each chapter. So it starts with the earliest poster from that chapter till the most recent that we picked. Why we chose those categories is because that's how the Centre de Recherche archives the posters. So we didn't want to invent a new way of categorizing the posters because they're not always that easily placed into a category. Sometimes they can go into one or the other. So in order to make the project easier, we decided to use the categories that exist already. I guess selecting the posters wasn't that easy. It was pretty tough because there's so many of them. And but we went through all of them that they had in their archives. They got drawers and drawers and drawers of posters, as you can well imagine. So I guess some of the criteria to select a poster was, one was their aesthetic importance or their aesthetic representation. So if there were nice posters or they had symbology and things like that that were important, that helped in the selection process. Another criteria was their representation of the group or movement that is represented. For example, whether it's community posters, if the poster was representative of the group. And also another criteria is the historical context, meaning the subject or issue that the poster represented, that if an ugly poster, for example, that has no aesthetic value whatsoever, if the issue or topic that the poster is representing is the only one that's talking about that issue, we might select it. We'd be more inclined to select it so that that issue wouldn't be lost. And also because the book also has historical importance, we wanted to make sure that all of the periods were included. So if there was, let's say, a period between, I don't know, 1975 and 1980, if there was only one poster from that period in one of the sections, we would definitely pick it just to make sure that it's represented as well. So we had all of these different things playing against each other or, you know, with each other, whatever, to help us make the selection. But it definitely wasn't always easy. And a few things, you know, went through the cracks that we kind of missed out, and that we can realize now that we're looking at them all together as a unit within the book.
Posters definitely capture moments of history. And many of the selected posters that you did end up choosing, as you were mentioning, they do speak for themselves, most of them. But there's also more than meets the eye for a few other ones, particularly within the 80s. I noticed some of them with the free trade and the other protests that were occurring during that time. It's really nice to see how you're able to piece them all together in a way that what was going on within Quebec society was able to make more sense than, let's say, when you were living through it, perhaps, or perchance, because posters have a tendency to really propagate information, and sometimes the context of that information is taken out of context by other medias. And I'm wondering also as well, posters are also not only just underestimated, but they also have this ability to bend and break the rules, too, within media. And I'm wondering, why is that? Or why do you think that is?
Well, I guess posters, first of all, posters are things that are very ephemeral. They don't last very long. So if there's a campaign for a particular event or something that's coming up, posters will be made. They'll be, you know, wheat pasted all over the city. And then once the event is over, and once the rain comes through, or the winter, or whatever, they're ripped down, or they fall off, or whatever, and they're sort of lost. So they don't have typically they don't have a very long lifespan. So maybe I'm guessing, but maybe because of that, you know, people can be more risky in what they present on a poster. They can you know, put things that they might not put otherwise in a book, for example, or in something that would last longer. But also maybe because a lot of these posters, they have a cause, or they're trying to make a point, to bring people together to go to an event or whatever.
Another point I noticed just within looking through the book and reading through different of the essays that were published along within all of the posters that you have in each section of the book, as you're mentioning before, they have very direct messages and clear, concise information on them, and other ones are very indirect, are very tongue-in-cheek, or very sarcastic, too. And some are even kind of eerie. They're kind of foretelling an apocalyptic future that might occur. How is that from the past anyway? Let's say if we're referring back to the 60s and 70s and the 80s within Quebec society, within when these posters were made, and then how have they influenced the posters of now, and where do you think posters are going into? Because posters still exist within cyberspace.
Mm-hmm. Well, posters still exist within poster space as well.
Yeah, of course.
But how they influence, I guess if you look through the whole collection, there are some symbols that are repeated. The hand is very present in you know, across the whole timeline from 1966 to the present. Because I'm looking here at a poster from 1969, and it's you know, it's saying contempt will have its time, and there's like a hand print, as though you put your hand in paint and made a print on it. And then we see that again, that exact same image in 2001 on a poster, an SOS humanity poster from the Summit of the Americas protest. And also the fist is another symbol which we see also throughout the whole period. From 1973, we see, you know, a poster of the fist. There's a poster of a fist, you know, in housing movements. They're here. I'm looking at one here as a poster. It's solidarity with the workers in Poland, you know, during the Solidarność, or whatever it was called, you know, and there's a huge fist in the middle of the poster. So there are images that are repeated, but whether or not the fist of the present in the present posters were influenced by the fist in the old posters, I'm not really sure of that, because I think the fist is it's a natural symbol. You know, when you're mad, you make a fist and you kind of like, you know, you just point it, or you know, I think it's a natural symbol that doesn't necessarily need historical reference in order for it to be naturally used. But I think one of the things with this poster book is that none of these posters were ever put in, sort of made available all in one location. So it's by looking at them all together that you realize that maybe there's a tradition that has developed in Quebec posters. I'm not quite convinced of that, but let's say if you consider European posters or Soviet era posters, there's definitely a tradition in postering. It's been around for a long time, and if you look at them, you can see the tradition of the styles and the form or whatever expressing itself across, you know, a long period of time. But in Quebec, I'm not really sure, and maybe once people look at this collection altogether, like more closely, or people who are, you know, who study this kind of thing, maybe they will see that, yes, there is a tradition that's developing, or that has developed over the years in Quebec postering. But I'm still not quite sure of that yet.
And they can do this if they go, of course, to the book launch, which is scheduled for February 13th between 5 and 7 p.m. at Écomusée du Fermont. They can get a copy of the book, correct?
Yep. And the book is also available in bookstores. And like in pretty much most bookstores, except for Chapters Indigo. And the book is completely bilingual.
Oh, yes, this is the other point,
everything,
a very good point.
All the texts are in English and French. If the poster is written in French, because most of the posters are French language, for obvious reasons, there's like a small legend below the poster that translates the poster and says, you know, who made it and the size and what year it was in. So it's, you know, it's good for pretty much anyone. And I guess one thing I didn't finish mentioning before is that at the beginning of each chapter there's a short introduction by different authors who are familiar with the movement that's in question. For example, Normand Baillargeon, he's fairly well known in the Francophone community, as is Francis Dupuy-Déry. He wrote the introduction on the pressure groups. Roberto Nieto, I think he wrote the introduction on the anti-globalization posters, and he's a CKUT person. Mm-hmm. So there you go. So there's lots of interesting information.
So do you think there are going to be courses offered on this, perhaps?
I'm sure there are courses already offered on posters in general, or as an art form, and maybe historically. It's the only book that exists in Quebec of this kind. I think there's another book of posters of, let's say, train posters, you know, posters made by CN or CP over the years. And I think there's a book of posters, but they're more like corporate advertising posters. So this is the only and first book of activist, of social movement posters. So hopefully it will be looked at, and maybe will be studied, and maybe there'll be courses that are made of it, or, you know, at least it'll be considered as a topic of discussion for, you know, graphic arts departments and maybe fine arts departments, or maybe even history or sociology departments, because it definitely shows an interesting historical perspective of Quebec society from, like, a street level, you know, what's going on the streets, because it's often not available. You don't often know what's going on the streets, or what went on the streets, necessarily, because there's not that much documentation. So it's like an alternative history, basically, of Quebec, in a way.
Well, thanks, David, for chatting with us and giving us a nice overview of this book, Picture This, Posters of Social Movements in Quebec from 1966 until 2007. Pick up a copy if you can, February 13th at Écomusée du Fier Monde.
We'll
chat
with
you another time. And, of course, you could always check out, of course, a website at www.cumuluspress.com, right? You have many other books on there, too. Maybe you want to give a little mention about that.
Cumulus Press is 10 years old this year, so there's a lot of different books that we've published. It's evolved over the years to cover issues of social justice and things like that. So there's comics journalism book about mining. We published a book in the past about the Summit of the Americas protest. There's poetry books. There's a book that's just out this February by Jason Selman, who's a trumpet player, spoken word person who's part of the Calmunity Vibe Collective, among other things. Yeah, so if you want more information about the books, you can check out Cumulus Press's website. But do come out to the launch this coming Wednesday. It's at the Écomusée du Fier Monde, which is 2050 Amherst Street, which is just north of Ontario near Berri-UQAM Metro. And there's going to be a slideshow of all the posters.